the Breaking Western podcast. We are now in season four. Oh, that was pretty good. Going for broke. Abby, tell them what this season's all about.
This season is about all of the best stuff. We're really trying to take a moment to talk to the people and the makers, the industry movers and shakers.
Hey, that rhymes.
Who are, thank you so much. who are giving us quality products, and talking to them about what it means to have a quality product, why they tend to cost a little more, and why they're worth our money.
Mm, I love it. So today is, as we love to say, no exception. Today we are so lucky to have Trent Johnson of Greeley Hot Works on the line with us right now.
So Greeley is a company with a long and unique history. A long history of really making hats for equally as unique people.
Yeah.
And they really place their emphasis on high quality hats that are also a tool for personal expression.
Which we love.
We love to hear it. So we're just going to, let Trent take this one away. Trent, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you all doing?
We're so good. It's a rainy and cold evening here in Iowa, but we're good.
Oh, that sounds so awesome right now. It's like a bazillion degrees and, you know, forest fires everywhere else. So send it out west, please.
Oh, we will. We would love to. Wow. So as we get started here, we just want to hear like a little bit about your story, a little bit about you, what got you started, what kind of led up to this wanting to make hats.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, thank you. Again, thanks for having me. You know, it's, I guess I like to say it is like, I didn't choose this hat life. It chose me. from a very young age, I collected hats, like, and not to date myself, but the year Epcot Center opened, I was like a kid, and we went on family vacation in our motorhome all together, and I saved all of my vacation money and bought hats at all the different countries. So I bought a fez in Morocco, a pith helmet in Africa, a beret in France, a bobby hat in England, you know, Italy, I bought a boater, you know, that's what I did. And so it was like, who would have known, right? But then, like super fast forward without the long story, because I don't want people to fall asleep while they're driving. But fast forward into college, the folks that owned Greeley Hat Works for me, I bought it from a lady by the name of Susie Orr, and I'd gone out there to have my hat shaped, and the hat shop was in the barn on the ranch. And they hired me to work on the ranch, and we all got along great. I was a hard worker, so much to the fact that I ended up living in their house, like in their basement, and working on the ranch while I was going to college. And then they built me a house on the west end of their place. And I just, all my spare time, I kept spending time in the hat shop. And, you know, if you want to start like a brewery, or like if you're a boot maker or a silversmith, like you could go buy all of that stuff today and set up shop, which is awesome, especially for entrepreneurs, right? But hat making stuff, most of our stuff was, you know, built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So it isn't like you could just get on to some website and buy all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't smart enough to get into business school. So while I was going to college and working on the ranch and working in the hat shop, I went to the Small Business Development Center at night, basically the night school, to learn how to write a business plan. And again, not to date myself, but the gentleman that owned the ranch, Susie's husband, Ed, I paid his secretary to type it on her typewriter. And and I ended up having the opportunity to buy Greeley Hat Works. So that's, wow. I mean, really, that's like the short version, which wasn't very short, but that's my short version of kind of how I got into the business. And I was an apprentice for 3.5 years, and I've owned it for over 25. So I've been doing this about 30 years, or as my kids like to say, over half my life I've worked here.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's fun when kids say stuff like that. And you think,
yeah,
oh,
like,
thanks,
oh, yeah,
sweetie.
Yeah.
It's fun that you put it in those terms for me.
You know what I was imagining? I got stuck
Those kids, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. The kids always say the darndest things, right?
They do. So I'm going back in my mind to Epcot, and I'm thinking about Disney and as a child myself going there. And when you said you bought hats from Disney, I was thinking like the Mickey Mouse ears. And that's as
right?
far as my mind went. It's amazing
right.
that you're like actually buying them from the little countries at Epcot.
Yeah. Now that I'm older, I just drink my way around Epcot. Just have the drink of the country in every country.
Absolutely.
You know, like anything, our interests change, and we grow and we evolve.
We grow.
Right. Right. Or devolve in my case, but yes.
Semantics. So I'm curious, you knew at some point early on when you got into hat making that it was something you potentially wanted to turn into your business or, you know, a livelihood by going. So, and that's why you went
right.
back to business school.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things that it was like genetically in me because like I still in my store, I have some of my grandpa's old cowboy hats and my other grandfather on the other side, I have a couple of his fedoras. And one of them, I remember my dad was a school teacher. So every summer, like we're gone and we're camping and we're doing all these things. And I had like this genuine synthetic Taiwanese leather jacket. I think it was Naga hide.
Yes.
You know, at Mesa Verde, I bought a bullwhip because all the Indians had bullwhips. And, you know, and I would pretend I was Indiana Jones. I'd pretend I was Indiana Jones. So, like, I've just always been a hat guy. I was like that weird kid at school that, you know, would wear some kind of weird random hat.
We've all known one of those.
Better
right?
that than, like,
me.
We grew up as the horse girls in school. Like, the girls.
Oh, those girls.
At recess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Angela, how do you know that?
But speaking of growing up, did you grow up in the Western industry? I know you said you mentioned you worked on the ranch. Was that very much a part of your childhood?
Nope, not one bit. I had some cousins that farmed that I've spent some summers with in Oklahoma, but no, I didn't. I grew up in town. My dad was a school teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until she got sick of us and then got a job. And but that's the cool thing about going away to college is you get to reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And although there were a lot of kids from my hometown here, like, it was cool. You just kind of, you get to become who you want to become and try new things. Most of them, not always the smartest decisions. But you get to, you know, I mean, that's why I got to do it. It was cool. I mean, you can kind of become whoever you want to be. And then just if you own it,
yeah.
right, if you own it, you could do anything.
You're so right.
I love that. Well, so now I'm curious about your experience as what people like to call a first generation individual in the Western industry or like a first generation cowboy.
Wow. I would say I'm very Western. Cowboy to me is a pretty sacred term. I worked on a ranch and processed cattle and pulled first calf heifers, calves, and irrigated and built fence. And I mean, I did it all, but like, you know, I'm a hell of a roper. If you give me a three-legged cow and a long enough rope, like I'm pretty damn good. But no, I wouldn't say I'm a cowboy by any means. But I mean, as I travel the world, literally the world, I mean, we've done shows all over Europe and Australia, is that I kind of view myself as an ambassador for the Western way of life, which ends up including a lot of my friends and their businesses in the Western industry, but also agriculture and the beef industry and farmers. And I kind of get to, not always in a positive way, but I always speak about it and tell about it all the way from like the big thing of the American West gets smaller down to, you know, the Western United States, get down smaller to Colorado, get down smaller to Weld County, which is one of the I think it's the sixth largest agriculture counties in the United States, get down to Greeley get down to Greedy Hat Works, but, you know, I'm definitely an advocate for all things Western.
So you mentioned that so casually in there that you've traveled around the world with this company making
right.
and selling cowboy hats. How does that all play into who Greeley is and what you do as a brand?
Well, I think the reason we're, I'd never say that we're better than other companies or anything. I would darn sure tell you we're different in the fact that I grew up loving hats, fedoras, cowboy hats, dress hats. So that's what my passion is building hats. I feel, and sometimes this is hard when you're talking about brand identity, like who are you? We're hat makers. I'm not going to tell you I'm a cowboy hat maker or a fashion hat maker or a fedora maker. Like, I just freaking love hats.
Wow.
So when you're traveling the world doing this, and, you know, all of my shows that I do, well, almost all of my shows outside of the United States are definitely Western. You know, Canada. Wow, that was a long pause, wasn't it? Awkward silence. Canada.
what other countries are there?
Right. I've done shows. Yeah, wow, I'm so, yeah, my dad was a school teacher. Okay, so let's talk about the educational system right now. But, you know, like, we've done shows in Canada, Germany, England, France, Italy, Australia. We have retailers far beyond that, but that's where, like, it is the American West, and it is, I don't mean like yahoo, yeehaw, but I mean like they want to, they want to understand, and they love, like, what it means, and sometimes they don't really necessarily know what it means, and I'm not talking like, oh yeah, like I watch Dallas. But, you know, it's like they really are into the horses. They're into the lifestyle. And with the World Wide Web, the world has gotten so small, like this little tiny global village, because I sell more Nevada buckaroo hats, if you will, in Switzerland than I do in Nevada. Fact.
Wow. Interesting.
Right? But, I mean, that's, you know, back in the day, you used to be able to, you know, they'd say, well, you could tell where a cowboy is from by the way he shakes his hat. And that's true. And then that got changed by, like, things like movies, television, the World Wide Web. Like, you know, so you got guys that, you know, are in New York City that want to have a cowboy hat. Not because they're cowboys, not because they're trying to be posers, but because of what it means to our history, our heritage, and our way of life.
That's really beautiful. That is. That's a really special approach that you don't
not
hear
common.
Often.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does that look when you go to, say, other countries and you're wanting to learn about, like, some of these different global kind of festivals or things that you're going to with your hats? What does that mean to show up, you know, with that Western heritage as your background, but also talk a little bit about learning other people's cultures when it comes to hats.
Well, you know, my first show in England, I don't think I sold any hats. In fact, I think I sold 4 because it was an educational process for them, for the people in that Western quarter horse Americana community, because lots of times, like, they would buy a hat from store X online, or a lot of the retailers over there were getting kind of like, I hate to say it, like, kind of like sloppy seconds, or like the leftovers of stuff they didn't sell, that, like, the bigger companies would just like, oh yeah, you want cowboy hats? And they would like vomit all of this back stock, dead stock onto them. So when I'm over there shaving hats, it was miserable. But we started an educational process about quality and craftsmanship and hand making things. And that all ties it back into the heritage.
Mm. Wow. So when people are buying a Greeley hat, they're getting so much more than just a hat.
Well, you could buy hats anywhere. What you get here is you buy an experience, and at the end you get a free hat.
Mmm.
Love that. Buy one, get one experience for a hat.
Right. No, and we do that. We do lots of BOGOs around here. Like, if you buy one hat, you get one hat. It's pretty awesome. We do it almost every day. Yeah, if you buy one, you get one. It's amazing.
Can you believe it? There's two of us sitting here, and now we're just staring at each other.
Right, a little confusing. But, you know, we just did that.
We're going to BOGO.
Buy one, get one. And so we do that with a lot of our retail partners is – They fly in to Denver, pick them up at the airport. We do a tour of Greeley Hat Works. We eat well. We have fun. But they get to work at the front of the store with us to learn about, I guess, kind of like our culture, our DNA in Greeley Hat Works. And they get to help make their own hat. And at the end of that is when we start designing their next season. And so they're so much more knowledgeable and or ask so many better questions. That then when they go home to sell those hats at their retail stores, they're not just selling a hat, but they're selling their experience and their experience, you know?
Wow. So it's almost like they show up and just you're saying they're hands-on, they're making their own hat.
Yes, they help us make their own hat.
Wow.
So that's cool.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go. You go. No, me? You? No? Okay. So... You know, we just did our first one of these ever retail. We've never done it with, like, just a consumer. And this is the second year, and the third year of Art of the Cowgirl, the second year I was the master hatter that was, you know, featured doing discussions and talks and history and kind of like what we're doing now. But we did our first one on their live auction where we offered round trip air, hotel, food, and the Greeley Hat Works experience where this person gets to come in and hang out with us and actually help build their own hat. And it went for almost $5,000.
Wow.
To raise money for the fellowship of Art of the Cowgirl.
That's amazing.
Wow. And what a cool experience. You're going to have that hat for forever.
Yeah.
And you'll also have that experience forever.
Totally.
Very cool.
So that makes Greeley pretty different from a lot of the other hat names that we see in the Western industry, that you are actually bringing people in and kind of making them part of your family. So that they learn and they're very much a part of the process, so that when they go out, it's not just that they're carrying a Greeley hat, it's that they're part of that Greeley hat and that hat is also part of them.
Yeah, you know, it was like last week, there was a guy, I don't want to say the city or anything, because like I still will kick back some cash to my retailer in that area, but they're one of our platinum dealers, where they have the conformator, everything we use to build the hat, to measure the head, all of that. They have that experience. I've got five of them in the U.S. and one in Canada. But here's the thing, is this guy lived 30 minutes from that store, and one of his friends said, dude, if you're going to get a hat, you should get a Greeley. But, brother, if you're going to get a Greeley, just go to Greeley. Mm-hmm. The guy flew here in the morning, rented a car, drove up here, bought a hat. We gave him the tour. He hung out with everybody that works here. And then he drove back to DA and flew home that night.
Whoa.
Right? I mean, like, to me, like, I mean, yes, we've had celebrities fly in, and that's kind of like, that's the gravy. That's not my bread and butter. My bread and butter is hardworking, normal people that like good stuff.
And then there's George Bush.
Oh, that one guy.
That one guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the first one we got to build for him was at NCBA, and National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and they asked me to build the president a hat. Well, you can't just take the conformer. You can't just take the conformer and go measure the guy. So his attaché, you know, I'm like talking to his people and they're saying, well, he wears this size. I'm like, okay, so I'm asking him about head shape, oval shape, all of these things. And they're like, yeah, he wears this size. Okay. So, you know,
you're not answering my question.
Right. You just start watching. When you watch the news now, with President Bush on there, you're like not, I don't even hear the words coming out of his mouth. All I'm doing is like studying his head. And one of the cool things is he's good friends with Red Seagull, who we've been building hats for since 1996. Yeah, 1996. Because him and my dad were roommates, but that's a whole nother story. So I'm talking to Red Seagull, and he's helping me out on the design and everything. And so I'm in the front row. It's on CNN and everything. I'm in the very front row with W.D. Farr, who's, you know, he's an icon in the cattle feeding business and in the water business. But so they tell me, they go, Trent, here's how this is going to go. We're going to be backstage. We're going to present him the hat, and he's going to say, oh, thank you, that's nice, and he's going to hand it off to Secret Service. I was like, cool, no worries. I mean, like, I got to make it, right? Yeah, yeah. Like, just chalk that
like
one
he,
up.
Like, he touched it.
Yeah.
Right. So, he's backstage. He puts on the hat. He's like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Where's Laura? I got to find Laura. And, like, he comes out on I'm getting goosebumps. He comes out on stage wearing the hat.
Whoa.
Holds it up to the crowd, and I can see my signature in the hat.
Oof.
He goes up to the podium, and then somebody takes the hat because it's like shadowing his face for all the TV cameras. At the end of the deal.
Wow.
Yes. At the end, he's going to walk by and shake everybody's hand, right? Like the front row where I'm at. So I'm just going to be like, okay, what do you say to the president? So he walks up to me.
Play it cool.
Right. He walks up to me to shake my hand, and I just say, sir, it was an honor to make you that hat. And I'm not joking. He goes, you're Trent. And he flagged Secret Service. They bring the hat over, and it felt like 30 minutes. It was like 15 seconds, but it's like boom, click, flash, boom, click, flash, all in like slow motion. And I'm smiling. My smile is so cheesy, but I think I'm actually holding vomit in my mouth. Like, I'm, like, so freaked out. So then after all of this, he wears the hat out. He gets on Air Force One to fly to the Olympics in Utah. He writes me a thank you card on Air Force One.
What?
Oh.
At the Olympics. He wears it at the Olympics. And a friend I have that does lights and sound was there and took pictures for me. And then, you know, you could see all these different times. But the sad thing was the next day on the front page of a big Denver newspaper is they put President Bush in his new blank hat, and it was a big brand company. It wasn't mine.
Oh, no.
Yes, they used like, oh, look, President Bush in his Brand X hat. It wasn't like, oh, built by Greeley Hat Works, located in Greeley, Colorado, nothing. And so it begins. But I got the second one I got to build him. I actually got invited to the Oval Office to present it to him. And from the research I've done and what other people have told me that have helped me research it, is I am the first hat maker that made the hat and presented it to the sitting president in the Oval Office.
Whoa.
I just feel like clapping.
I know.
Like,
I'm
that's
sitting here
incredible.
Right?
Wow.
So on that one, we do this inlaid presidential seal in it. And, you know, I was a lot younger then. And so I was under the thing of, like, plead ignorance and beg for forgiveness. So I'm leaving my kid's school, like a show and tell, because like I made a replica, right? But when I built this hat cam, I had to build like 12 of them, because like just to make it at least a little bit more cost effective. So I'm leaving my kid's school holding my presidential replica hat after like presenting, like, hey kids, look, this is what Mr. Trump did. And my phone rings and it's the White House. And she's like, Trent Johnson? I'm like, yes, ma'am. She's like, and you're the guy that was just here that built the hat for the president and the presidential carrier? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay, just say you're sorry. You didn't understand.
How did they find out this fast?
Right? And so she says, do you have any more of those carriers? And as I think about the other 10 carriers that are sitting in my office with presidential seals, I go, well, no, but I think I could get some. Why would you ask? That's such an odd question. And she's like, well, the president would like to hire you to build hats for dignitaries.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I had a contract with the State Department. President Bush gave me the actual autograph to stamp in the sweatband. So the sweatbands came with his signature in them, George W. Bush logo in the liner. Like for Vladimir Putin, we made custom made for Vladimir Putin, and it came in the presidential seal, in the presidential case. So he would give them, like, you know, we did, you know, Vladimir Putin, Amir Kuwait, Secretary General of the United Nations, the President of Guatemala, Vicente Fox, Vice President Kerr of the Sudan, all of these people. And so, yeah, I got rid of all those hat carriers and had to have a few more made. It was pretty awesome.
I don't have words. Because we were on your website and saw that you had replicas of, like, the Casey Dutton and the Beth Dutton and the Rip Wheeler. And we were like, oh, cool. Wait, what? He does, like, are these our Greeley hats? We're absolutely not expecting you to come in here and just talk about...
We're just thinking your close relationship with the president.
That Rip Wheeler is right. The pinnacle of hat success.
Wow. Oh, and Cole, so they, so Taylor Sheridan, I built him a hat like probably about 18 years ago. And Taylor Sheridan is the guy that, you know, wrote that. But before that, mm-hmm. he had done other movies and he was in Sons of Anarchy and, you know, and really, and, you know, just bought the Four Sixes Ranch and a mm-hmm. real, genuinely, a good guy, which for Hollywood, that says a lot, I think, right there.
Yeah.
So he calls a friend of mine, Garrett Cooper, over at Times Ranch Jeans, because they're friends. And he's like, hey, what's that guy's name that built this hat for me, you know, so long ago? And Garrett's like, oh, yeah, no, that's my buddy Trent. Here's his cell phone. So it's like 8:30 at night, and it's like family TV time, and Taylor Sheridan called my cell phone.
Were you watching Sons of Anarchy at the time?
Right.
Like,
no,
like
no, my kids.
Theme.
Right. No, my kids were with us. But so I'm like, yeah, this is Trent. How can I help you? He's like, hey, this is Taylor Sheridan. I'm getting ready to, I'm doing this movie called Wind River with Jeremy Renner, and I'd love for you to make the hats. And I was like, hey, man, that sounds good. I'm watching TV with my kids. I'll give you a shot tomorrow. And I don't hang up on him, but it's like a short goodbye. And then I get on my phone and I goggle him. You know, I'm looking at the Googles. And I'm like, oh, this dude is, like, legit.
Like, and then I'm going to call him back.
So I call him back the next day. And it's like, hey, sorry about that last night, but, you know, family time's family time. He's like, dude, I totally get it. And so they flew me out to location for a few days, and I hung out with him and Jeremy Renner for Wind River, and that went over really well. I think a lot of it is kind of how we distress, and I think, and I'll tell you in a second, like in my brain, what goes into like distressing the hat for like a movie and now for just everyday people. So that went really well. So then he's like, hey, dude, I'm going to be doing this this show with Kevin Costner on cable, but we're calling it Yellowstone. I was like, dude, that sounds great. He's like, so are you interested? I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. He buys me a one-way airplane ticket.
Oh.
On location. And my wife's kind of like, why do you have a one-way airplane ticket? I was like, I don't know. Like, but like,
I was
like
also
Kevin
wondering.
It's like Kevin Costner and Cole Hauser and, you know, going through the whole list, you know, Luke Grimes, everybody, Wes Bentley. And so I get out there and, you know, they have the little car that comes, picks you up and everything. And they take me to the hotel and then I unpack my, I think I took like 5 or 6 days worth of clothes because I figured like really like what am I going to do for 5 days? I got to measure like 8 people for half. It's like not this huge thing. And then I go out to the studio and Ruth Carter, who was the head wardrobe designer for Yellowstone. So when I'm out there, like I'm looking at it right now, I have Taylor on both of those before I fly out. He'll send me the script. And so, because I want to like start to learn, like, yeah, Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner's played a lot of people, but who is John Dutton? Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so while I'm out there, they're writing episode 2 of season 1. Like that's, and in fact, Casey Dutton, Luke Grimes, Casey Dutton at the time, his name was actually Corey. But they changed it because that was Jeremy Renner's name in Wind River, and they're like, oh, this is a little weird. So they changed it to Casey. But so I'm there, and I'm working with Ruth Carter, and I walk into the studio, and there's like these big industrial cardboard boxes that are like 4x4x4. Some of them have hats. Some of them have boots. Some of them have spurs, belts, buckles, jeans. And she's like, hey, Trent, if you don't mind, like, because I know you've worked with Taylor – and you're more into this Western thing. Can you go through this stuff for me? I'm like, yes. Cause like, she's the one, she won an Oscar for Black Panther for wardrobe. Okay. So like, she's like, I don't know. Is it like super legit? What's bigger than legit?
Legit.
Too legit to super legitimate.
Legitimate and, is more than legit. There it is.
Okay. And she is like legitimate. And so I start going through these boxes and doing all of these things that she asks, and she comes over and she goes, oh, so is that the yes pile? Because there was two piles. There's like the stuff would work pile, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, this also goes by Taylor. It isn't like all of a sudden I'm like on the payroll. It's like, but I'm helping her learn, right? Again, talking about our heritage, talking about our history as Westerners. And so there's two piles, a big pile and a small pile. She looks at the big pile. She's like, okay, so this is the yes pile and this is the no pile. I was like, no, Ms. Carter, it's actually the opposite way. All that stuff is hell no, and some of this stuff could work. So then for 30 minutes, I'm going into the whole, okay, see now, like, see this heel or see how this looks like a dingo boot with a big ring on the side? Like, this isn't real. This isn't going to work. And see this belt with a buckle with a big golden eagle on it? Like, they would not wear this. They or the one with the spinning mustache on it, you know? I'm like, no, this stuff isn't going to work. So she's like, okay. She gives me a credit card, gives me a driver, and says, you need to go buy some stuff.
Whoa.
And
wow.
So, like, I'm buying stuff. I'm, like, just going into any Western store I could find and buying, like, legit stuff. And while they're driving me there and in between them, I'm, like, calling my friends. So, like, I'm calling, you know, my friends at Anderson Bean and Rio Super Sadie. I'm calling my friends at Kimes. I'm calling my friends at Schaefer. I'm like, okay, you guys, like, I'm going to give this gal your phone number, and it's real because I'm here. This is happening. This is real. Like, don't pull a trip. Be like, oh yeah, I'll call you tomorrow. Like, if they say this lady
don't
calls,
tell them you're watching
from
TV.
The studio calls, right? Yeah. Don't. Don't be like, I'm watching Dallas. Sorry, I can't take the call. And so yeah, it was amazing. And then you know they were all so hospitable, and you know Taylor and Nicole and their son Gus, they'd have us all over for dinner at their house, and one night, well. Okay, so I think the way I'm supposed to legally say this is one night we had a super lot of fun, and it was super late, And I played cards against humanity. I played cards against humanity with the cast.
Stop it. My gosh. Stop.
I can't breathe.
You know, and Luke Grimes and I, like, we still talk. Cole Hauser, he's like, so while you're making my hat, will you send me pictures so I can learn about the process? I mean, this is a Hollywood guy, right? Wow. Like, again, it's not, you know, I'm going in, I'm riding cutting horses with him over at the Reams Ranch. I'm, like, literally hanging out with these guys. Probably the weirdest thing, and it's not really, but as much as it was a super relief, it's like when we all go out to dinner. Imagine you sitting at that table with all of that star power.
I can't.
My people mind.
Those were the best dinners out I've ever had. I mean, like, not one person asked me for my autograph. It was such a relief.
Finally.
Right on. I was like, oh, my gosh, finally, right? Oh, man, it's so good hanging out with Kevin Costner. Right? But, yeah, and then so, you know, we got to do that, and then they invited us out. And I got to go walk the red carpet in Hollywood at Paramount Studios with Matt and Amanda Kimes, and it was just like, you know, it was like surreal. Surreal. I don't know what else you say. Surreal.
This seems surreal just hearing about
it. I know.
It.
I'm like, there's no way that we're just sitting here on a phone call with someone who's done all of this.
Well, and I think there's so much in the Western industry that once a show like Yellowstone comes out, it's boutiques and everybody wants some sort of little piece of it, and they sell it in big quantities. And to hear something like this is really special, where it's so hands-on. And you can go on the Greeley Hat Works website and get yourself a Rip Wheeler inspired.
Yeah. And, you know, it was really cool, like, for the NFR in Texas this year. I still work with the studio, you know, but, like, they ordered a bunch of hats for their Yellowstone booth. Like, so that's cool. Like, the studio, like, I'm still doing work with them, which is really awesome. Because they wear lots of different hats now. It's not, I mean, you know, and it, you know, that's cool. Like, there's plenty of heads out there. I'm not gonna split hairs, you know. It was a blessing, and it was awesome. And then that led, you know, really to other movies. Like, we did Timothy Olyphant for Deadwood. Woody Harrelson in Zombieland 2 is wearing a Greeley because zombie killers need good headwear too. And and in fact, and then we worked with David Lynch on a movie, and now we're working with David, I think it's pronounced Iolo. David Iolo, check him out. But yeah, he's working on a Western now. That it still just has a code name. Like, they wouldn't, like, when I'm invoicing and things, they say, oh, just send it to Project Blankety Blank, which I won't disclose the Blankety Blank. So yeah, it's still under.
And it's not Blankety Blank.
It's not Blankety. Oh, dang it! I screwed that up again. You know, so yeah, it's been great, but again, it's more than just about the hat, you know. So the reason Taylor had me out there with them for so long and going and riding cutting horses with them and hanging out with them and, you know, it was like watching them take hats on and off and doing things and who their character was so that you could like make it real, not just like, oh, this is a 17-step distressing process. And they all come out very close. No, it was like, so, you know, in the very first scene of season one, when Costner, you know, when he has that accident with his horse trailer and everything, and he goes to pick his hat up out of the street, out of the road, like, I can see my signature in the liner. Kind of like the whole presidential thing again, right? You know, so, yeah, it was super cool. Super cool. And season two, when they released that, I actually rented a little boutique theater downtown and got permission from Paramount and did a live viewing there. You can't sell tickets, you know, like, you can't make money. You can't sell tickets. So I paid for, you know, the staff and the theater and all that. And then everybody had to donate either canned food or X amount of dollars to the Weld County Food Bank. So, like, they got all of the proceeds from that because we've been here since 1909, so I'm, like, super community-oriented.
Oh, We love to hear that. And yeah, I keep thinking back to what you said earlier, that even though it's been really amazing to work with celebrities and on these big projects, you said that's the gravy. That's not my bread and butter.
Mm.
Right.
So can you tell us more about making hats for just your everyday person?
Joe Schmo.
You're blank.
There is no... No, yeah, there is no Joe Schmo, but that's what I like is those people that just walk into the store, they actually get a better experience than Kevin Costner did because they are in, I basically have like 10,000 square feet of Build-A-Bear for hats. You know what I mean? Like we could do so much stuff. And yes, if you want the heartbeat, it is $20 extra, but you know, like we do that, like, and we take people, you know. There was a guy in here today who is super picky. And so I wasn't going to, like, we went back and we went through the hat bodies. He got to pick out the hat body that he wanted. Then we went to the ribbon. I was like, well, I think this color would be great. He's like, well, do you have anything a little dark? I'm like, well, not really, but, like, I have this old vintage stuff from the 40s, and there happened to be the right color in there.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, there are... I mean, that sounds cheesy. Everybody's important, but really, you know, it's like I said in the very beginning, you can buy a hat anywhere. You buy an experience here. At the end of it, you get to come pick up a free hat, or we can ship it to you worldwide.
Yes. Well, I just, wow. Your website is not lying when you say 110 plus years of hatisfaction.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many hat puns have you come up with over your time of doing this?
Well, I've got a ton of them, but the one, honestly, one year we had a super good year, and like I'm not just going to buy something to save on taxes. Like if I don't, you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
I'm just not that guy. So I bought intellectual property. I own Hatisfaction. I own Hatitude. And I own Ranch Ready. And I got two more in the works. But it's one of those
blankety and blank.
Blankety and blank. And the thing is one time my attorney calls me and she's like, hey, just so you know, on the website for Cheyenne Frontier Days, it says come get a new Hatitude and they're selling ball caps. She goes, so we're next day airing a letter. And I'm like, no. I build hats for the committee. Please do not. Like, I'll just call the CEO. I'll call Tom. And just say, hey, buddy, and, like, I'll have it taken down. It's not a big deal. But they were like, wow, like attorney. I'm like, no, slow your little turbo. Like, I got this. My newest one I like to do because is my daughter last week was at band camp in Texas, my youngest. She was yes, I have a daughter at band camp. And, yes, she plays the bassoon.
God,
but
she is also
self-taught in taxidermy. So, yeah, whatever.
What?
Don't even look at me like that. But while she's at band camp, I'm with a friend at her hat shop, and she's like, you should stay the night because the kids love you, and then we can get up in the morning and we can, like, play in the hat shop. It'll be a play date. I'm like, no, this is hat band camp. So I totally did hat band camp.
Oh. You know, I keep thinking about the bassoon now. I think that instrument has like 9 thumb positions. That's a very intricate instrument to learn. So.
Well, it's a lot easier. My daughter actually has 3. Yeah, I know she has 3 thumbs, you know, so that's cool. Thank you.
Oh, well, that helps. That's probably,
that
is that genetic?
We're digressing.
Ish. That's okay. Come on. I totally forgot to set my timer before we started because we're having so much fun.
Oh, no, this is so worth it.
No,
so right now
it's like 5 minutes.
I have 43 minutes and 1 second left. Should I start
the
again?
I'll start it now.
Go.
I think the timer starts now. All right, everybody,
all right,
strap in.
Go.
We were just heating up.
Now we're all warmed up.
There we go.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you on the social medias and in the theater.
They can find us on the World Wide Web at greeleyhowers.com. And all the social channels are at Greeley Howers. That's like the Pinterest, the Twitters, the FaceTube, the U-Books, the Instagrams. And then I have a personal one because I'm sometimes not, well, I'm not normal anyhow, but I have a personal one, which is Trent L. Johnson Design, where sometimes, like, we put some other stuff, and we got, like, you know, the Snapchats and the Tic Tacs, and we got it all.
And it's all very legitimate,
very legitimate.
The way those websites sound.
Yes, FaceTube and YouBook.
Yes, it's all there.
And you can see really me, actually.
Yeah, you really shouldn't Google it because it might take you somewhere bad. I don't know.
Anything could happen.
Don't Google three thoughts.
We are not liable for that.
Right.
So
hopefully that weird Google lady doesn't come back on and tell me, like, it is time to start talking.
They're listening still. So you have some cool in-person events coming up, too. So where can people find you if they're out and about?
If they're out and about, we're lots of different places. And, like, this weekend, Cuckoo Leather, she's an awesome bootmaker, dual citizenship here in Italy. And I'll be up there this weekend. And then, give me a second, I'm looking at it on my Goggle calendar. After that, it's crazy. After that, let's see. Oh, yeah, then I fly to New York City to Kilt. And Dress to Kilt, and then I'm in.
So real.
It is so real. Check it out, dresstokilt.com. You could watch the fashion show online. End of July, I'm at Stages West in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and then I'll be in your neck of the woods on August 5, 6, and 7 at Indie House in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh,
then,
really?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. We'll come see you.
We will.
Oh, that would be awesome.
We do have Pitbull on the 7th, so we can't come that day. But
okay, well, but this is also during Hinterland, so. And Tanya Tucker's going to be in Hinterland, and we do some hats for her, so that'll be cool. Then in August,
Trent, I wish you could see my face right now. Abby just lost her mind. I think my heart stopped beating for a moment. That's, like, one of my most obscure life goals is to just, like, be up close to her. I don't think we ever need to talk.
Right?
Let me look at her.
Like, but don't glare. You can look, but don't glare.
Right. I'd be scared to do that at her.
Right. August 20th through the 2021, I think 22, I'm at the Maverick, one of our premier dealers in the Fort Worth Stockyards. After that, I'm in Americana in Germany. Then I'm back to Stages West in September. Then I'm at the Quarter Horse Congress with Rod's Western Palace. Then I'm back in Maverick. And then I'm at the National Angus Convention in Fort Worth. And then, where am I then? Oh, NFR.
There it is.
Back to Stages West in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And then it's January. So, I mean, I could keep going. I got stuff booked through March, but we'll just stop there. Everything's available. Our tour schedule is available on our website, on our homepage. Yeah.
Love it. I'm just hearing Johnny Cash singing in my head. I've been everywhere, man.
Yeah. I mean, and that's
I'm in Germany, Kilt.
my family and my coworkers are so glad things are opening up because there was a little thing going on. Which is worse? Dying from COVID or Trent not traveling, and it's still kind of about 50-50.
Either way, Jeff might be involved.
Right?
Get him out. Well, on that note, Trent, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This was beyond incredible.
It's been truly amazing.
And I know the listeners.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was very fun. Well, make sure to go.
We should do this again.
Let's.
Do you want to do you want to do one live where we're all sitting face to face?
Yes,
we would love to do that.
So when we were in Arlington,
that's totally ripping. Yeah.
When we were at NFR last year, we did live from the swine barn with a few different guests, and I know Des Moines State Fairgrounds has a swine barn. Just saying.
Well, and we could figure that out. My brother-in-law is the global director for pork. The sustainability. He's smarter than me. Like, I can't even say sustainability. Yeah, so he's there. He's there out there, too. I got family. We got pigs. We can do it at my sister's barn.
That'll be perfect. I can't think of anything better. The world just opened up to
right. But she lives in the, my sister, he's a good guy. My sister lives in the house. It's like
so
her barn on her property.
Barn.
No, she doesn't live in the swine barn.
Okay, I got confused.
Yeah, I know, right? This guy is so confusing.
Wow, well, we can't wait to see you on tour at the swine barn somewhere.
That will be awesome. And then, because I remember, I like what you said earlier about if we get to do this live at the end, we're going to do that breakdance battle. That's going to be hilarious.
That's say less. We're in. So, everyone, you heard it here first. We will be live with Greeley Hatworks in a few weeks. And if you stay tuned, you will see us have a breakdance battle. And it will be legitimate. But in the meantime, make sure you're checking out Greeley Hatworks. Follow them online. That's Greeley, G-R-E-E-L-E-Y, if you weren't familiar with them already. Make sure you get familiar.
Go get familiar. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next week on another episode of
the Breaking Western Podcast.